Let's turn now to politics. Steve Roberts joining us, as he does every Monday, talking a little bit about everything that's going on in politics. And Steve, here we're talking about MY27 and the ongoing vote count that's been going on. In Florida, it was the recount process in two big-time races. We've been running a poll all morning long asking what people's trust level is in the election process after what they're seeing with the canvassing and the recounts. And to me, a surprising number of people have a very low trust level in the election process. Is that troubling for you to hear?
Sure. And I think it's partly because there have been these well-publicized snafus in places like Florida. Of course, everybody remembers the hanging chads of 2000. But also you have a president who's repeatedly said elections are rigged. He's been saying this over and over again. In fact, he expected to lose the election in 2016, and so to prepare his followers for it, he kept saying the election was rigged right up until about 5 o'clock in the afternoon of Election Day when he realized he might win. So I think there are many reasons for this, but it is damaging, and it is destructive, because if people lose confidence in the system, they're less likely to vote and less likely to grant legitimacy to the people who win. So this is not a good idea.
And what lessons are we learning from the midterms that we just finished?
Well, I think we're learning a number of lessons. The single biggest lesson is that the Democrats' strength with groups that are only going to become more important in American politics, if you look to the future, for instance, voters under 45 voted Democratic by 25 points. Voters over 45 were even. That's got to be very troubling to Republicans. If you look at groups that are only going to become more important in American politics, Latinos voted 69 to 29 for Democrats, Asians 77 to 23. So the demography is very much against Republicans looking forward. And smart Republicans know that. Smart Republicans are worried about that. You can't be a party of aging white men in a changing country. At the same time, I do think there is some good news for Republicans. The fact that they held both the governor's seat and the Senate seat and won the Senate seat in Florida, the fact that they held the governor's won the governor's race in Ohio, that tells me in the two most important swing states in American politics, Republicans still are doing very well. So going forward, demography is against them, but there are some bright spots that they can point to.
Does it give you hope for maybe some bipartisanship in Washington?
I'd like to think so, but I'm pessimistic. You look over the weekend where the president tweeted about Adam Schiff, the congressman from California who will take over the Intelligence Committee, and he deliberately misspelled his name to be an obscenity. Now, how can you have bipartisanship when you have a president who resorts to, you know, schoolboy playground insults? I'm afraid that is the more dominant feeling in America, and frankly, that's one of the reasons I think that college-educated women voted so heavily against Republicans. It didn't have to do with the economy. The economy's good. It really didn't have to do much with issues, even though Democrats talked all about health care. It had to do with the fact that so many of these women saw this president as not a good role model for their children, and the kind of insults he indulged in over the weekend only reinforces that view. So I got to tell you, I just don't think there is much room. There are a couple of issues where there might be some bipartisanship on infrastructure spending, but by and large, I think, if anything, this is going to get worse, not better, because when the Robert Mueller, the special counsel, reports, that's only going to inflame the president even further.
Steve, we appreciate it. Steve Roberts joining us this morning, political analyst. Yeah.